Sean for breakfast, Esperance's 747 Triple M. And for the last month or so, I've been catching up with Chris Russell and learning about his great podcast called AgriMiners, which you can get from podcast1.com.au. Season one was a hit and season two has been very good as well. One of the topics that he comes across is this one which has been nagging governments, big corporations and farmers around the world. It's that issue surrounding glyphosate. Chris Russell, how are you?
I'm fantastic, thanks, Sean. How are you going over there?
I'm great. So this dropped last week. It needed to go through the legal hoops. What's been the response so far? You've spoken to a few people from around the world.
Look, there seems to be a lot of interest from particularly country areas about this. I think everybody sees Roundup or glyphosate or Zero, as it's known in the nursery world, as being probably the most transformational chemical we've seen of the last 50 years. It was first developed in 1975 by Monsanto, and it's been almost universally used. There are millions and millions of litres of that used, not just in Australia, but globally. And it's really been responsible in New South Wales for the abandonment of the Soil Conservation Service that used to operate when I was at university to sort of clean up the ground after it had been over-cultivated for 100 years, you know, because that was the only sort of weed control that anyone really believed worked.
Yep.
And then glyphosate came in, and that's allowed no-till farming, effectively, at an economic level. Of course, now it's under threat. So there's been another court case now just lost in Los Angeles from another person who claims to have developed non-Hodgkin's lymphoma from constant exposure to glyphosate, you know, over his years as a, I think in his case, he also worked in some sort of council activity. So it is significant. And the interviews that I did on this were really trying to speak to the key AgriMiners, as I always do, who are not only the potential producers. I spoke to the CEO of Monsanto itself, who are the people right in the gun with this, was facing over 9,200 cases now in America. I also spoke to the head of Crop Producers Australia, Andrew Riedemann, who represents all the producers who are not only the beneficiaries of the transformational nature of this, but they're also the potential victims if it is indeed a key cause of cancer. And then I spoke to a lady who was on the IARC panel, which is a World Health Organization panel that makes these recommendations globally about what causes cancer and what doesn't. And she was a member of that panel who actually made the decision that it is a probable cause of cancer. So they are, in my view, the three key people who can throw light on this. And I think their responses are not only surprising, but fascinating.
Yeah, this is a difficult one because I really want to go into detail and I want to delve into it, but I think it's best if our listeners actually hear it from the horse's mouth and actually listen to the podcast. But we'll just touch on a few brief points. The head of the farmers, are you finding that farmers, they know about the risk of glyphosate, the potential cancer risk, but they still want to use it anyway? That's how important this chemical is?
Well, I think that if I can give you one little grab from the interview I did with Andrew, he said that if, in fact, they lose access to glyphosate or it's restricted such that it doesn't become practical, that it may mean that many of his members and many of the producers will effectively walk away from the industry. That's how critical it is. It's probably worth about 21% of our Australian production lost if we didn't have access to that in the absence of a replacement. And nothing I can see on the horizon that's going to replace glyphosate at this point.
What about the head of Monsanto? What are the chances that they go completely bust? I mean, these lawsuits are crippling as it is, and it looks like there's going to be more on the way.
Yeah, Monsanto, of course, has been bought by Bayer now, so I don't think this will bankrupt them, and of course they carry insurances as well. But having said that, it has certainly dramatically affected their share price, and they're very defensive about it. When I interviewed Tony May, who is the Australasian Chief Executive Officer of Monsanto, Marketing Director, I think he calls himself, he came with a little bevy of advisors. They're obviously very sensitive about it. It's clearly something that has massive implications, not just for what's happened in the past, but what their business will be in the future. And I think it's fascinating to hear how they're responding to that and what they believe is there as a counter, if you like, to the evidence that was brought up in the cases in America.
Yeah, and that will be very fascinating. And then obviously that third interview, the one with the woman from the Global Council, Cancer Council, basically, that's going to be fascinating.
It's called the International Agency Authority for the Research on Cancer. What? So it was set up by the World Health Organization, which is part of the United Nations, some years ago, to explore things that are widely used which may cause cancer. And the interesting thing is that there are four groups of cancer causes. There's effectively a very likely cause of cancer, a probable cause of cancer, a possible cause of cancer, and then not much chance or no data that supports it as a cause of cancer. So they're the four levels that things can be classified in. And they classify this as the second highest. So the number one level has got things like asbestos and smoking and that sort of thing in it. Number two level has DDT and dieldrin in it, but also now has glyphosate. But in a bizarre way, it also includes hot drinks over 65 degrees and working in a barber shop. So, you know, I really was keen to explore how we actually assess the relative danger, if you like, from glyphosate when you've got such a wide spectrum of products that are actually in this category. And it's fascinating to hear Lynn Fritchie, Professor Lynn Fritchie, to actually handle that question. And I must say I did sense a certain uneasiness, I think, with the fact that perhaps this is very misunderstood in her mind.
Well, yeah, basically, if with those categories, you're basically saying that a lot of farmers should go away from glyphosate because of that rating, but you don't see many barbers walking away from their profession, even though it's in that category, that's for sure.
Well, and I was drinking a hot coffee when I interviewed her. So
did you start
according
trembling?
To me, I could have been drinking, according to that rating, I could have been drinking neat Roundup.
It's going to be a really amazing podcast. I can't wait to get my teeth sunk into it. Just a quick one before I let you go. You're a farmer. Would you use, Chris Russell, would you use glyphosate in your farming activities after doing this podcast?
I would always, with all chemicals, Sean, I don't want to sound like a bureaucrat here, but I would always be quite comfortable in Australia using any chemical in accordance with the label recommendations. That is the point of our regulation system here. We have very strict rules about what goes on the label, what goes on the data sheets that accompany these products. And I think, like anything, if you do it to excess or you ignore the recommendations, you're likely to cause yourself damage. I think glyphosate, my assessment would be that glyphosate is something that, used in accordance with the regulations, should be okay. The one question in my mind is that people have always thought of it as being so safe that you could nearly bathe in it. I think that maybe has been now severely borne into doubt. And the problem is that that then puts doubt in the minds of the regulators, and you can read that as arse coverers within the regulatory authorities. And so despite the fact that it might be perceived as, and I may be comfortable using it, the regulatory-wise, we may find its use restricted. So what I'm concerned about is that if we are going to restrict it, that we make sure that we restrict it for real reasons. And that's what I'm trying to discover in this podcast series.
It might be your best podcast yet. I can't wait to listen to it. That is AgriMinders. You can grab that from podcast1.com.au. I highly recommend that you do. I've been speaking to the host of that podcast. His name is Chris Russell. Chris, great work, and I'll talk to you next week.
No worries, Sean.